Speak, Lord, your people here. Amen. Jesus, the true vine. Verse 1, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. This passage follows on from the Last Supper. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine. Psalm 80. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. In this final discourse, where Jesus teaches that he is the new Israel, but also a continuation of the old Israel in the form of a growing vine. The shedding of his blood will bring forth a whole new manifestation of the vine, and it will be a vine that will be for all of humanity. And at the same event, Jesus gives the cup, fruit of the vine, and says that he will drink it next in the kingdom. He makes clear that the Father is the vine dresser who manages and directs the whole process. Verse 2. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Some render themselves lifeless and useless because they choose insignificance and are pruned away. And thus the processes of the physical world are mirrored in the spiritual and moral realm. Others that are partially productive require heavy pruning so that they can be restored to health and to productivity. Verse 3. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus' teachings during his ministry have shaped and transformed and cleansed his followers as his word continues to shape and to transform and to cleanse us, his followers. From science, we know about the beautiful process of photosynthesis, where the light of God comes shining through and turns the leaves into something that are wonderfully productive. And it's easy on a very beautiful day like today to appreciate the light and to appreciate the power and the strength of that mystery that we call photosynthesis. There is a miraculous transformation underway. And this is the very same image that Jesus uses to teach us about the transformation of the light of God in us that produces a tremendously surprising and productive result. That which was dead becomes alive to God. What was scattered is connected. What was fragmentary is made whole. When we think about our daily lives, there's so much in life that dissipates energy, that drains away our strength and our vitality, that alienates us from our family members and our workmates and our neighbors and our friends. And so, in a sense, there's a force out there that's sort of pulling things apart. But Jesus talks about this vine as something which gathers, which unites, which connects, which supplies nutrients, and which gives life in all its fullness. Bread and wine were the miracle food of a very mysterious character in the Old Testament called Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a priest to Abraham in the Old Testament. And now at this meal, Jesus takes these two elements of Melchizedek, bread and wine, to show the transformation of humanity. Many grains are mixed into a unity, and by the miraculous process of leavening, are made into a single loaf. And similarly with the grapes. the many grapes are crushed and mixed and fermented and become something quite different and are given by Jesus at this meal in a single cup. And as we are crushed and gathered and transformed in Christ, we become something new. So through a very similar miraculous process, and remarkably, it is in losing ourselves in Him that we truly find ourselves. Verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you. We on our own cannot please God. All of our attempts to find our destiny, change the world, and make life meaningful are going nowhere if we leave God out of the equation. Without Him, human vanity looms large, and we become foolish, tragic, and lost. We are created beings. We're here for just a moment of time. And if we leave out the Creator, our purpose evaporates. Humanity is so busy trying to solve its own problems without God, and yet He is the very resolution to them. And so much human activity and striving are profoundly contradictory. We need to learn the mystery and the motive of all creation, this divine love that we see in Jesus. There's a mutuality also. Abide in me as I abide in you. It's a real two-way relationship. Think of the importance in the teachings of Jesus of abiding and dwelling. When Jan and I lived in Old Crow as young people, we were ministering there, and our house was on the riverbank in the middle of town, and all the houses were stretched out along the riverbank. And our house was in the center, and Jan and I liked to talk and have fun. And so all the visitors in town would have to stop off at the rectory and say hello and get a cup of coffee and do a lot of joking and fooling and have a good time. But when the local people came, at first it was very unsettling because they didn't come to talk. Their expression was they came to sit with us. After you talked about the caribou and the salmon and the weather, there just wasn't much in the village to say. But coming to sit with you was a sign of honor and regard. In the same way, Jesus teaches us to sit with, abide with, to dwell with God. Even when we pray, we're so busy trying to figure out what we're going to say, it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to be about abiding and dwelling in the divine presence. We don't need to say anything. The term we use is contemplation, but it simply means find a bench and sit in the presence of the Lord. And what a great day it is today to do that, to give that priority in our lives, to just dwell and abide in the presence and to feel the light of God irradiating our lives, and to feel the light of God making us productive. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. There's a connection, of course, to our theme today of Mother's Day. My mother, gone now, but I think of the tremendous sacrifice. She was widowed when I was 6 years old, and she sacrificed mightily to raise me. And our lives are blessed by the sacrifices of our mothers and by countless generations that went before them. And there is a direct link between their sacrificial love and the divine Creator. because it's all about sacrificial love. And I think Mother's Day is a special occasion for us because we think about that sacrificial love that our mothers had for us. And Jesus on the cross declared the centrality of sacrificial love to the very mystery of life. This is what it's all about. And staying close to him draws our lives and our stories into this miraculous mystery that is at the very center of the cosmos itself. Verse 5. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch. Coming to nothing is a real possibility in life. And this is the hard part of the teaching of Jesus. All of the promises and the hopes come with another side, that we believe that life is consequential and that death is a possibility. And we do a real disservice to the truth if we tell people all is well, truth is whatever you want it to be, and all will find God in the end. According to Jesus, it's not true. Whoever does not abide will be thrown away and wither. Life, destiny, and the future are all consequential. And Jesus knew at this point with his disciples that time was short. And he tried to fill them with all the truth he could before he left. And one of the basic facts of life of the new covenant is there is a tremendous urgency to the gospel, because withering and dying are distinct possibilities. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now that sounds like a very large promise. And we hear that echo again in our collect for this morning that Debs read. That we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Your promises exceed all that we can desire. When the light of God comes in all of its fullness, there's no prayer we offer and no hope we have that won't find its real satisfaction and fulfillment. Verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Think of it. We've been given the potential to actually glorify and please the Father. He's given us the power to either frustrate or complete his plan. And if there is fruit for the kingdom, then clearly you are connected to the one who knows about self-giving love. Good thoughts, good deeds, strong love, noble values, clear thinking, pure intentions, sacrificial decisions, generous living, deep prayerfulness, loyal affection, self-control. Yes, Jesus promises his followers not just a life that's good enough, not just a life that gets by, but a life that glorifies the Father. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. The whole preceding passage is summed up in this unit of love. We are part of a love story that is gathering and uniting everything of value. And it is immensely bigger than ourselves. And we are being gathered into this unit of love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Love undergirds every commandment that Christ gave to his followers. And this is the essential character of those that are in communion with the new covenant. And verse 11, I have said these things to you that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The natural fulfillment of this way of living is holy joy. Joy that lasts, joy that is eternal. And we want this joy not just for ourselves, but for all of our loved ones and for all of humanity. Faith gives us many tough things to reckon with, but we face them as we uncover this ultimate prize of holy joy, the gift of God in the Father. How positive is our faith? How motivating? How worthwhile? And it is to this end that the truth of Christ is moving us onward. We stand in the light of God, irradiated by Him, miraculously productive, transforming moment by moment into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, source of all nourishment and life, so graft us into your living Son. So irradiate us with his splendor and grace, that day by day, abiding in his love, we may be mystically transformed and joyfully bring forth to Christ's glory and heaven's delight, the promised abundance. Amen.